We're told he has a loud, barking laugh. Big Daddy is, in a sense, larger than life, and that, in another sense, is the rub. Life, that is. And it's what's on his mind as he talks with his son Brick about leaving the plantation on a grand tour of Europe with Big Mama, his wife. "I'm a rich man, Brick. Yep, I'm a mighty rich man. You know how much I'm worth? Guess, Brick, guess how much I'm worth? Close to $10 million in cash and blue chip stocks. Outside, mind you, of 28,000 acres of the richest land this side of the Valley Nile. But a man can't buy his life with it. He can't buy back his life with it when his life has been spent. That's one thing not offered in the European fire sale or in the American markets or any markets on earth. A man can't buy his life with it. He can't buy back his life when his life is finished. You know, the human animal is a beast that dies, and if he's got money, he buys and buys and buys, and I think the reason he buys everything he can buy is that in the back of his mind, he has the crazy hope that one of his purchases will be life everlasting, which it never can be." Those words from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, from Goodreads, the Pulitzer Prize-winning play by Tennessee Williams. Williams sets the tone by choosing as an epigraph for his intense drama words by poet Dylan Thomas. We know the ones, rage, rage, against the dying of the light. Clock Tower Theatre Company was founded in 2016 to, in their words, provide exceptional theater experiences of high professional quality here in northeastern Pennsylvania. And to that end, they will be presenting a classic of the American stage each season. This year, it is Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, a production they just premiered at Cider Mill Stage in Endicott, New York, and they're bringing the show to the theater at North in Scranton this Saturday evening. Directed by Brad Morgan, a native of Scranton, with extensive acting and directing credits on stage and in television. He teaches theater, acting, and communications at Penn State Scranton. The production features Jessica Cadden Osborne as Maggie. She is a Scranton native, having received her dance and stage training primarily from the Ballet Theater of Scranton under the direction of Joanne Arduino, a 2006 graduate of the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. With a BFA in jazz dance, Jessica went on to enjoy a successful dance and acting career in New York City. She was a Radio City Rockette from 2008 through 2015. Jessica is a member of both Actors Equity Association and SAG-AFTRA. Recent film credits include Laurie in Conviction and Mira in Heaven Is Now. Also, Jake Wendland, who studied at Binghamton University, and he tells us that he grew up magnetically attracted to the tradition of the legendary Cider Mill Playhouse, even waiting tables until he could make it to the stage there. He has worked previously with Clock Tower. Brad Morgan, Jessica Cadden Osborne, and Jake Wendland paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and about shaping the characters and exploring the themes. We began by asking Jessica whether coming from Scranton might in any way feed into her sense of Maggie as a character.
As pertaining to this role, I feel like there's both an elegance, something very ethereal and I guess I would say dancer-like about Maggie in the way that she carries herself, but a very distinct sort of rawness. And I feel like that's a quality that I have. There's something about the Scranton area that is very colorful to me. It's, I don't want to say rugged, but it's a bit like a diamond in the rough. And I feel like my family and my friends here are like that, and I mean that in a very good way. So there's something to Maggie, much about Maggie, that reflects that as well. So those two very simple things. And then, yeah, my experience have all brought me to this point where I'm lucky enough to be on stage with Jake and to be a part of this wonderful production. Everyone and the cast is wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're really excited to share it here.
And is that why what you've just said about those things that are all part of who you are as a performer, why you wanted to do Maggie?
Yes, I'm uninterested in playing characters that aren't going through some bout of pain or conflict. I mean, most, you know, things that we're portraying are because there's a reason art is made and why we're telling the stories that we're telling. But we've seen a topical thing or two on TV these days. So there's something to a Tennessee Williams work, obviously, and to someone like Maggie and someone like Brick, that offers so much opportunity to look within yourself and delve into that roughness, that rough around the edge quality. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm not really interested in telling stories that don't provoke a piece of me that feels deep and maybe dirty and conflicted, because that's the good stuff.
Is it scary, too, to go there?
I don't know if I'd use the word scary, but it's, I think it does call for bravery. And I was just reading something that William said. It was something I posted like years ago or something, and it came up as one of those memories on Facebook. And I meant to copy and paste it to in an email to the cast, and then I don't really get social media all the time, so it's like this fleeting moment, and then it leaves, and you can't see it anymore. Like, where did that go? But there was something to it where Tennessee was, he was talking about the courage of actors. To take what most human beings don't want to look at, and we call it our duty, to look at the things that aren't seen by many or want people don't want to look at those pieces. And I think that's what we want to do. I think that's what we're alive for as actors. And Maggie gives me a very distinct opportunity to do that.
And what attracted you to Brick then?
I have a real attraction to... Similar to what Jessica said about characters who are going through something. Now, obviously, I think all good characters are going through something, right? There's some change from beginning to end. And for me, the ones that really stand out are the ones that there's a little bit more of a psychological element to their conflict. That maybe there's a large element of self-doubt or of guilt, of shame, of, you know, et cetera, whatever it may be. But something that they themselves sort of carry. Right, that they then apply to the circumstances of the play as it happens to them. And I think that's really Brick. I mean, Brick has all of this human life that he's carrying with him that gets dinged by these moments with his friend Skipper and with Maggie and with his father, Big Daddy, that makes him, I think, this really wonderful example of like the human experience, of human psychology just at work in a person.
And that's a testament to Tennessee Williams'
yes.
ability
Certainly.
To write characters,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, what about the timeliness, the topicality of this? We think of it as a classic of the American stage, written when it was, but there are themes and explorations that are 2018.
Well, I think what makes a play a classic are common themes that translate over time. So we were talking about lies and mendacity. Currently in our environment here where everything is called a lie or fake news or you can't really tell by looking at it on social media what is true, what is not true. So one of the main themes in this play is lies and lying to among the family, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a somewhat dysfunctional family environment here, as we all have a pretty much dysfunctional family that we live in. But also, the themes of sexuality, I don't know how much that they are as relevant now as they would have been in 1955 when the play was first produced and 58 when the movie came out. They left much of that out of the movie, which of course is going to be in our play. And noticing the last 2 weeks that we have done it, people that have come, don't know the play, have only seen the movie. They're kind of walking out of the theater going, I don't remember that. You know, I don't remember that part of it. But sexuality, also conversation and how difficult it is to have conversations, meaningful conversations, especially among family members, as with Brick and Big Daddy. The whole second act is pretty much those two trying to have a difficult conversation that they've never been able to have their whole lives.
Yeah, there's such a common through line of acceptance and tolerance, which I think, like you mentioned, the theme of sexuality that was very different in 1953 or 4 or 5, whatever. But really, the stakes are quite high now. We're just talking about a larger sense of things like the LGBT community and, you know, being able to adopt a child in a same-sex marriage and these things that are still very, to many of us, like, we cannot believe that we're still having this discussion. But we are. So I feel like it's still very relevant in that you know, shows in the play, and we're hoping that that's something that resonates in people. And that's what art is, right? So you can take it home and go review, or you're just left with this like, oh my God, now I think about things differently. Ah, I see how that resonates in my own life. And then you end up thinking about it for days or weeks. And I think that's our hope through Tennessee's work, mm-hmm. is that you can leave the theater and think, sheesh, this in A, B, C, D in my own life are reflected in what I just saw.
What about gender roles when it comes to Big Mama and Big Daddy? Dynamics that are still in play?
Oh, absolutely. Big Daddy is a overbearing, powerful, demanding character and treats Big Mama with not very much respect. A lot of name-calling and abuse, not necessarily physical, but mental abuse, I would say. And certainly in Northeast Pennsylvania, we have those types of relationships that exist. I think they kind of exist all over. I don't know if it's unique mm-hmm. to New York, to Pennsylvania, but yeah, and it's quite shocking, the play compared to the movie, you know, the character Big Daddy and some of the things he says to his wife, to his son. But that's the environment that Tennessee Williams grew up in. He tells a story that I read. He would get a ride to work with his father every day, and it was silence the whole car ride. And he would try and think of one question that he could ask his father on the car ride, just to break the silence every day. And it was, you know, some mm-hmm. mundane question like, how about the traffic? And he said his father always answered the question very simply, but it always seemed like it was filled with much more importance than the simple answer that he gave. So even in his own life with his father, and he said he got the title of the play, Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, because his father would come home drunk at night, and he would go up into the attic and hide, and he would always come in and yell for his mother. He would say, you make me feel like a cat on a hot tin roof. So that's where the mm-hmm. title came from, his actual father, who was alcoholic, as character of Brick is depicted in our play. So another one of the main themes is drinking and alcoholism.
What about the father-son relationship? For example, you're talking about the second act where you're trying to get some sort of conversation going. That tension, does that feel true?
Yeah, yes, it does. It certainly does ring true. I think it goes back to what Brad had mentioned about, or I think you also mentioned about the environment that you come from. Because I think a large element of this play is we learn about Big Daddy through certain stories that he tells, right? And if I were to step outside of playing Brick and look at it just as words that this man is saying, as the stories that this man is telling, we get to see where he came from, right? We get to see that he really had no father figure until he came upon this this plantation where these two older gay men took him in and let him work there, which he then, you know, worked up the ranks until he was in charge of the place. But I'll let Big Daddy tell that story during the play. But so we see, like, the gaps in his experience as a young man leading to the gaps that he has as an adult man. And then fast forward years later, we see this altercation between Brick and his father, and we see the same things in Brick. We see the same gaps in Brick. Different gaps, yes, but gaps that we go, oh, it's because they were never able to do this, and they were never able to do this. And I think the biggest thing here is have a conversation. Just be able to talk about something that's deeply meaningful. If Brick and his father were able to have, like, this real true conversation about sexuality and being true to yourself 20 years ago, the play never happens because Brick is a well-adjusted adult man who can handle his sexuality. But the result is that he's not.
What about the tension between you two?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there are very specific things going on between Brick and Maggie. But I think, to piggyback off of what Jake was saying, you know, we're seeing the psychology of these characters and how what you are, even within a romantic relationship as an adult, is still a product of where you came from. Mm-hmm. We all are growing up with these holes that really come from childhood. You know, it's like so messed up. Mm-hmm. And in Maggie's case, she had an alcoholic father. Notes how her mother had it very, it was a struggle, grew up poor. You know, so there's this fear, there's this just always a cowering sense that things will get back to that really terrible, she'll be on the streets again. I understand it, but it really all trickles back, I think, to, you know, the root of it. And I think Psychology 101 is right between the ages of 0 and 9, you're formulating the way that you see the world and perceive how people see you. And in Maggie's case, it's fear. It's fear, like something's going to go really wrong, something's going to be her fault, and she better do everything she can to make sure that she doesn't get back to where she was. And that informs the way in which I deal with Brick. And yes, that lends itself to the tensions that we have. There's lots of blocks of communication, blocks of intimacy, and the aggression, the struggle, the sadness that comes out of not being able to melt into your partner. And that's something that we worked on a lot at the beginning of working on these characters is, you know, on the page it's written a lot of aggressive language or one ignoring the other, this sort of classic catty or just mean behavior. But we did work diligently to sort of find the love that once was, because without one, as Jake so eloquently put way back when, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you can't really experience the depth of the other. Without understanding what it was like for you to accept me fully, I can't, there's no way I can understand how devastating it would be to have the opposite. And so that was a joy. We worked a lot on finding the fullness of these two people's relationships.
What about the sense of the greed and the wanting to have the inheritance and scheming and lying and all of those things, then that's timely too.
Absolutely, and that's really brought out primarily through the older brother of Brick, Gooper, and his wife May. And yeah, Big Daddy is dying of cancer, and has to leave this huge plantation, 28,000 acres, to someone, and they're all vying to try and get it or a piece of it, including Maggie and the other brother, Gooper and May. So What is Gooper's line? A family crisis tends to bring out the best and the worst in family. And this is certainly bringing out the worst in this family because they're all, you know, fighting over the remains. Yeah, that's a large part of this story as well. What's great about Tennessee Williams is there's multiple themes and they're all layered on top of each other. And every time I see it and I see another line, another reference, another symbolism or metaphor, it's just amazing when you come across a great writer like Tennessee Williams, how rich the play is and the language. Nothing is taken for granted. Like every line is put in there for a reason. There's a purpose and it has some meaning. And if you were to read one of his plays, he has a lot of description, stage description, because he wants to be so specific about those metaphors and those the symbolic nature, even with sound effects that are happening throughout the play, they all have a purpose.
There's music or there's blues in the play.
There are no live musicians in the play, but there is some blues music. Now, we've updated this play a little bit, or I have updated it, so it's not taking place in the traditional time frame. So the costumes are very contemporary, the set is very contemporary, the music is very contemporary. But all the music that we play throughout the show is blues.
Can be the rawness that you have described so well, depending on what you choose, right?
Yeah, for sure, blues.
I agree.
And Tennessee Williams uses an epigraph at the head of the play, words of poet Dylan Thomas, the well-known words, "Rage, rage against the dying of the light." Is there some sense that not just Big Daddy, who is actively dying, but that all of the characters in some sense are raging against the dying of the light?
Stuck, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Tennessee Williams says he likes to create characters that are stuck in an environment of their own creation that they just can't get out of. They're all cats stuck on the hot tin roof. And as Brick says, why don't you just jump? They're incapable of jumping there. They're rooted there and will try and survive as long as they can. All of them, really.
I have this sort of this psychological theory that we as people, something that we are doing in our lives is searching for immortality, for lack of a better word, for meaning beyond just our short span here. And that can be in the form of a headstone. That can be in the form of a plantation house that gets passed down. It can be in the form of that book that you wrote. It can take so many different forms, but there's something that speaks to us that lets us relax into the idea of leaving this mortal coil. And I think it's so beautifully displayed here with all these people. Every single one of them is trying to grasp the thing that makes their life worthwhile.
And when they're unable to grasp it, how they cope with that. In Brick's case, going numb, drinking until he doesn't have to think about that question anymore, about how he's not actually living up to that sense of immortality, of living beyond himself.
Mm. In Maggie's case, it translates into this hardness that she notes several times, and that's experienced by other players, you know, turn into this sort of calloused, sort of I am whatever you say I am situation. And that's the coping mechanism, that's the survivor. So instead of thriving within the softness that she so yearns to have and feel from her partner and her father that wasn't there for her, I think Maggie and Big Daddy's connection, it's an interesting parallel because Big Daddy and Maggie say a lot of the same things in ever so slightly different ways. There's a lot of repetition in this play, and Maggie and Big Daddy, they're mirroring each other in many ways, and there is a bit of a softness towards one another. Not a ton of it, but there is this connection there. So I think that that's a bit of what Maggie wishes she had in so many of their different scenarios, but because she feels like she's not worth it, and that I'm not worth receiving that becomes deeper and deeper, and the deeper it goes, the harder she becomes. And I think that's, like Brick's drinking, what Maggie goes to as the coping mechanism, if you will. But yeah, I agree. You know, these characters are so fascinating, and it's this idea of like, well, we could leave and there's reasons why we're staying. But it reminds me of a bit of like a Stockholm Syndrome-ish sort of thing, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you just get so addicted to the sickness. And there are all these different little diseases within this family, and it's both toxic and bittersweet, and there's something like really tragically beautiful about it.
What we've been talking about a lot is the darkness. Where is the light? Where do we find the light?
Oh, I don't know that there's much light in this play, honestly. It is very tense throughout. There's two different third acts to this play. The one he originally wrote, and there's the one that premiered on Broadway that was rewritten. We're doing the original third act. And they both end very differently. The Broadway version, Ilya Kazan wanted a more hopeful ending. So he wrote some lines in there. Brick has a line, I really admire you, Maggie, right before she says, I love you. And he says, I really hope that was...
Wouldn't it be funny if that were true?
Wouldn't that be funny if it were true? That line might even be out of the Broadway version. But the ending of this play, you could play it where it seems like there's no hope. Like, they'll never have a child. They'll never resolve their differences. Brick will never stop drinking. Maggie will stay on her hot tin roof. But I wanted to kind of give it a somewhere in between that they would have a child, and leave the audience maybe 50% leaving, saying the optimist would say they're going to survive. They're going to go on. You know, they're going to have the child and everything be okay. And then the other half of the audience, pessimist, saying, that's never going
to
work.
Well, this brings me to, I had a few friends come to see the performance last weekend. Mm-hmm. And my friend Samantha, I was asking her about how she experienced Maggie and Brick. And she said, I felt very sorry for you. And she said she connected to, you know, this thing as a woman, and when you're not getting what you need and feeling like you are pushed to this place of, call it crazy or call it mad or whatever we're feeling. She said, so I felt sorry for the two of you, but one thing I really felt was that you loved him. And I thought, I'm so happy to hear that, mm-hmm. because people see the hardness and the aggression and the fury between these two characters, and that's important. But even within this despair and disappointment that she saw in us, she said, I saw that you loved him. And I thought, that isn't that mm-hmm. our human experience, mm-hmm. is these like juxtaposed things that really are sometimes married to one another.
Both and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you sensed that in playing it opposite?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, and it goes to what Jessica was saying earlier, where I think you quoted me. So now I'll quote you quoting me. But just the idea that I think it's a stronger story if Brick gets to see Maggie love him and then choose to turn away from that. To let that love in and then go, that's not what I want right now. That's not what I want ever, maybe, right? And to push that away. And so to have that coming from Jessica is a beautiful gift.
We have a chance to see it this Saturday evening, the eve of Father's Day.
It would be a great Father's Day present.
I
mean, the story in here about the son and father relationship and how it is difficult for a son and father to talk to each other. I think many son-father relationships mm-hmm. have that type of environment. So maybe coming to see the play and bringing your father would... open up some conversation topics.
Some dialogue. Yeah.
Director Brad Morgan and actors Jessica Cadden-Osborne and Jake Wendland speaking with us about Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams, a Pulitzer Prize-winning play, to be presented by Clock Tower Theater Company this Saturday evening at 7:30 at Theater at North, 1539 North Main Avenue in Scranton. And that's at 7:30 June 16th, one night only, at the Theater at North, 1539 North Main Avenue in Scranton, by the Clock Tower Theater Company. And for more information, thetheateratnorth.org, thetheateratnorth.org, or clocktowertheaterthundertix.com, clocktowertheaterthundertix.com, or you can find Clock Tower Theater on Facebook. And in each case, Theater at North and Clock Tower Theater, each is spelled with an E-R at the end, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, for Clock Tower Theater Company and for Theater at North. For more information, thetheateratnorth.org, and it's this Saturday evening, June 16th at 7:30 p.m., a production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams by Clock Tower Theater Company in Scranton.